The code for this podcast is SSAT014. This podcast is from a series titled How to Measure Your Spirit. The section is about your spiritual survival needs, and the segment covered is eternal salvation. This is discussion number 14 of 18, and covers the scripture reference of John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 24 to 30. Please note that the first 3 or so minutes of this podcast are a reminder of how this all works. Skip past this only if Holy Spirit leads you to. Enjoy Jesus Christ.
Well, welcome. We are covering a series of scriptures from the Bible, and this is covering how to measure your spirit, your emotions, and your earth suit. There are many scriptures that you will be able to go through. You can either do that in groups, just looking at the scriptures and speaking to the Holy Spirit. Or if you would like, you're welcome to listen to the podcasts. And those are also available. If you feel like you would like to support this work, please will you just ask Holy Spirit who it is around you that needs to be blessed. I have discovered that the Lord will provide for me. So bless other people. Bless and encourage and help and strengthen other people. So if you're following along with us in the handbook, you can download that from multidimensionalthinkers.com/a-life-is-worth-living. You'll see the handbook towards the top. There's also an Excel calculator there, so you could also use that if you wanted to. You'll be able to go to the different podcasts from there. They're on different pages. You just need to look a little further down the web page. You will see the links to those things, how to measure your spirit, how to measure your emotions, how to measure your earth. Remember that as you listen, make the keywords in the second column, and the scoring needs to be done based on your conversation with Holy Spirit, where He says to you, yeah, you've got some work to do on this one, or no, you're fine. If you're fine, then it's a zero. If you're not fine, then you mark it as a minus. And that is you giving the Holy Spirit permission to make changes in your life as far as those things are concerned.
And you can't measure it against anyone else, because everybody's on a specific journey with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's got his own agenda about how He is raising each and every one of us. So you can never compare, which means that you can also never judge the other person. But you can, and you should be loving each other along that journey. And that'll give you an indication of how strong you are. Nothing to boast about, because even if you get one that you're not great at the moment, it just means that God's growing you, right? It's good to have things that you have to fix and grow into and things like that, so that's not a bad thing. And again, you can never compare with anyone else.
Please remember that everything on the site and all of these messages are free. So don't charge for them, please, if you're forwarding them on. Almighty Father, we just pray that you open our eyes, please, and teach us what it is that you want us to know. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. So this morning, reading is from John 10, 24 to 30. If you're following along with us, you're welcome to just start where you are. There's a site where you can download a handbook. It's free. And the site is multidimensionalthinkers.com/a-life-is-worth-living. And we're measuring our spirits. Sounds impossible, and the reality is when you measure, you cannot measure against any other person. And in a way, you can't just measure against the Bible as a standard. You need the Holy Spirit to tell you, yeah, this is one we're working on, and this is one you need to do some work on, and this one you're good at. So we are on the 15th verse that we're unpacking, and as we read through them, but I unpack the scripture, actually what happens is I have no preparation whatsoever for this. I believe strongly in what the Lord says, is that He will give you the words at the right time, and so together with you, I also listen to what the Lord has to say, and it's just the way that He's always worked with me. And so, so we're measuring spiritual survival strength. And it's John 10, verse 24 to 30. All right, let's see what the Lord has to say. So just for a little bit of background, the Jews have for some time been seeing the miracles that Jesus has been doing. And they're wanting to kind of know if He is the Messiah. But He's already, in a way, demonstrated that He is. He did say to His disciples, do not say anything yet about me being the Messiah. Because He knew then that the people would try to make Him king at the wrong time, right? And timing is everything with the Lord, so we God honors patience, He really does. Then came the Jews around about Him and said unto Him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. And if you think about it, right, if you think back to before you knew Jesus, you couldn't hear what people were saying about Jesus. It's like you almost had a block. You either didn't want to hear, or it's like your mind was on other things, and you just didn't pay attention. And when Jesus says here, but because ye are not of my sheep, again, it's about timing, right? The Lord will open your eyes at exactly the right time. And you will know. You'll know that He's the Messiah. You'll know that He's the one. You'll just know. And you won't have any other confirmations necessary. From outside of time, God knows who His sheep are. And He's given those sheep to Jesus. And Jesus knows who they are. And in fact, from the time that God opens that person's eyes, they are very much His sheep and they can hear Him. When I say hear Him, they can hear Him in their hearts. You know, they just know. They just know that that is true. And it's important for us to understand that everyone is on a journey. We need to pray for those who are His sheep, that they do not fall away. That they do not fall away before they hear the message. We need to pray that others do not distract them and tear them down. We need to pray that the Lord opens their eyes. And then we need to love them and treat them like they are already God's children. And it's important to do that, because if you don't treat another person like they are God's child, doesn't mean that you accept the bad behavior, by the way. The bad behavior always gets treated like it's bad. That's it. You call it what it is. You don't call. Just because the person's going to feel upset if you tell them that what they're doing is bad. Remember, the one who's getting upset is Satan. right? That person is just reflecting Satan's anger that you're messing with his real estate time. So don't take that personally. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So you will know whether or not you are his sheep by whether or not you are following him. How do you follow Jesus? Because he's not physical anymore. But his word is clear. The word is clear about what you should or shouldn't do. And if you follow those words and you obey them, then you're following him. You know, to walk in somebody else's footsteps, on the beach, for example, it means that you've got to take a step and try and put it inside the other person's footstep. You've got to, in other words, your foot doesn't go anywhere else on the beach. It's got to go in that footstep. That's truly following. Well, how do you do that? You have a look at how Jesus lived. You have a look at what he did. You have a look at what he said. You listen to what he says. You know, when people first start reading the Bible, sometimes they say, well, where should I start? I've always maintained that the best place to start is in the book of John. When you read the book of John, it gives you a spiritual insight. Then I believe that you need to go back to Genesis. And you need to read chronologically from beginning to end. And then just keep rereading. The way I like to do this is I believe very strongly that God's words are encapsulated in the first five books of the Bible. And then after those five books, you get how they applied that in those days. And you learn all the mistakes that they made. That's an important thing. You get wisdom by reading the Old Testament, because you see every mistake that they made and you realize that wasn't cool, that wasn't clever, look what happened afterwards. So you gain a lot of insight and wisdom from that. You then read the prophets, and the prophets tell you about Jesus in clear, once you know how to read it, it's so clear. Jesus all the way from Genesis 1:1 all the way through to Revelation. You know, if you wanted to say that there was one superfluous and probably dangerous page in the Bible, it's that page that separates Old Testament and New Testament. Because many people think, oh, that's the dividing line. There is no dividing line. God has one story. Yes, Jesus died in the middle, but it's like a coloring in book. The beginning part of the Bible, the first five books of the Bible, in a sense, draws the outline of your coloring book or whatever that coloring in page is. Then the prophets and all that show you what will be coming inside, what colors and all that sort of stuff in your coloring book will be coming. But by color, by number, you know, it talks about a 2 here. 2 is yellow and 4 is red, etc. It tells you those things. Then Jesus comes along and he actually does the coloring in. He colors in that. He explains those things. He gives it context and meaning. So the first five books of what one could call the New Testament is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Those five. So you've got the first five. You've got the first five of the second half. And then you've got the book of Revelation. And Jesus actually speaks directly as God's word. He speaks in each one of those books. The rest of the books of the New Testament application. How do you apply this? How do you apply this? And that's, and in fact, most of the application is in the book of Acts. the rest of it is how do you explain it to people, really? And so it's important to know that the words that you're really going to set your store by are going to sit as a foundation in the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, as a fulfillment in the first five books of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, as a final completion in the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Anyway, that's just as an aside. But it talks here about, we were on John 27, my sheep hear my voice. And his voice is so clear in those books that I just mentioned, right? His voice is so clear in those. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. You know, that's always a fear for little children. When they're with somebody, just anybody, they feel like, you know, they could easily just be pulled away, unless they're holding their hand. They want to know that they can hold a hand, because if they're holding the hand, they know that they're safe, because it's not just them holding the hand of the other person, it's the other person holding their hand. And so even if they were to slip, they know the other person won't let go. And that's what they're talking here. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. No one can pull you out of his hand. There you go, guys. Seek Jesus in his word. Seek to follow Jesus in his word. And the ultimate message for me was, you know what? Do you feel safe in Jesus' hands? Do you feel safe in his hands? If you don't feel safe in his hands, you need to go read those scriptures. You need to go read those books. And just see how safe you can be in Jesus' hands. God bless, guys. Have a beautiful day.